Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 7 of Viltrumikes, an Invincible podcast here on the Aspect Network. I'm one of your hosts, Brianna Romero, and joining me to discuss the latest and greatest in the world of Invincible is Negan Fu. Negan, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I was up. I didn't go to bed till like 4:30 yesterday, so recovering from that, I guess, but mostly pretty good. Did a little DJing last night.
How did it go?
It went pretty well, yeah. I don't know. I don't know when it'll become consistent. It might not be till the summer, because I think they're just trying out DJs still, and then they'll kind of decide what they want to do. So, but we'll see. I mean, maybe I'll hear back from them sooner than that, but we'll see. But yeah, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's really, really nice out in LA today. It's like 78 degrees. So when we wrap up recording, I'm gonna head outside and get some sunshine. But other than that, it's been a pretty chill weekend. The Nuggets won against the Lakers yesterday in the playoffs, so that's huge.
Oh, nice.
We'll see how they do tomorrow. But
did you listen to the Taylor Swift album?
Did I listen to the Taylor Swift album? Yes, I listened to the Swift album. 2 hours out of my life, but it was well spent with our good friend Kate Baum. And it's a good album. It's not a no-skip album, but it's a good album. What do you think of it?
I only listened to it once, and it took me like all day. I kept like breaking and then coming back to it, but I'll have to check it out again.
I know, me too. I've been playing like certain songs over again, but I haven't like re-listened to it.
Yeah. It's a long one for sure.
I just sneezed, sorry. It came out really weird.
It's a long album for sure.
Yeah, it's long, but it's pretty solid, I think. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't really.
I'm sure it'll win 10 Grammys next year.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not. I hope maybe not. Like one. Just because she does win a lot, but
my eyeball itches. Sorry, guys.
Oh, that's okay.
Okay.
Anyway, today we're continuing our rewatch of Invincible with episode 3, Who You Calling Ugly?
Yeah, Who You Calling Ugly?
So let's kick off this week's show by just jumping into our overall thoughts on the episode. Bree, what were your takeaways from rewatching this episode?
This episode truly shows me how evil Omni-Man is. I think like rewatching this season, knowing like what happens at the end of season one and at the end of season two and like the beginning of season two, like just knowing all the context, it just like makes me feel a certain way when I see Omni-Man do certain things or say certain things. But I don't know. Yeah, that's like my overall takeaway from this episode is he is just like a truly evil man. And so I think upon this rewatch, I just dislike Omni-Man more and more.
Yeah, he's definitely a little seedy. But like, I think after season two, kind of explored his character a lot more. I don't know. He's definitely the bad guy of season one, though. So, I agree that, like, rewatching, I don't know. He just seems even more, I think, knowing the full context of everything, like, he's just very good at kind of twisting his words.
Well, and like, the scene that gets me the most is the very beginning scene of the funeral.
The very beginning scene?
Yeah, because
Oh,
Like,
he's talking about them, the eulogy, yeah.
and it's one thing to be talking about the Guardians of the Globe and like their death and like how much he misses them in front of America. Like, that's one thing. But it's another thing when he's talking about them like in front of their families. Like, that is much worse to me than when he's like giving a speech in front of like all of America to see. Like, that's whatever. Politicians do that all the time.
Right.
But like, to just like lie in front of their families and like act like they were friends, or not like kind of friends. I mean, he corrects Debbie at one point and says they were coworkers, but I don't know, it's truly like an evil thing to
It
do.
is, yeah.
Did not vibe with Omni-Man's vibes this episode. He's a
Yeah,
good
he's,
villain.
yeah. It's definitely pretty, it's just kind of effed up, yeah, to deliver that speech at the Guardian's funeral.
Well, and then like when he's giving his big speech, he's like, he immediately like makes it about himself. He because he's like, who will save us? I will. And then there's a long pause. And
Yeah.
others. I'm like, shut up, Omni-Man.
Yeah. But I guess like that is kind of his idea. No guardians, so Earth is maybe more vulnerable, I guess. The Ultramites are gonna swoop in. Definitely just a lot of added like texture to each scene on the rewatch, like having seen two full seasons now. Especially how just Nolan kind of navigates conversations, and what he reveals and doesn't reveal. Let's see. I mean, I feel like maybe we should wait to talk about all the Mark and Amber and Eve stuff. Why don't we talk about the new Guardians of the Globe? Because that's a big kind of subject of this
Yeah, I
episode.
feel like that's like the most, like the biggest thing that goes on in this episode. It happens so fast. I like, again, like we've said it before, but everything is coming so much sooner than I remember it to come. But it makes sense that they like want to form a new Guardians really fast.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really interesting when Cecil approaches Robot and he's like, you're gonna be the leader of the new Guardians of the Globe. And Robot's like, why isn't it Omni-Man? And like Cecil explains Omni-Man's like dislike for the Guardians of the Globe. But I just think like there's so many red flags being raised in like everyone's faces. They just like aren't putting the puzzle pieces together. But watching all the new Guardians like train and like do their like audition is cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Robot is he's selected, I guess, because he's, well, why wouldn't it be like Black Samson?
Well, I think like they do have that discussion a little later on.
Think they do, right?
Yeah, I think in episode either this episode or episode four, they talk about how like Black Samson's kind of the leader in a way, but like I think Robot's more so like not their teacher, but they're like, okay, we're gonna train you guys. Like, this is how we're gonna train.
Yeah.
And like he'll like make up like the game plans for their battles and stuff.
Yeah.
So
Kind
I
of
don't.
like a strategist, I suppose. And I guess Cecil probably likes him because he's, you know, he thinks he's just this robot, so he's kind of, he's not affected by like human temptations or emotions in the same way, until obviously we'll see what happens, but he's, I guess he's a little bit more logical, which he kind of is.
Yeah, and I think he does like prove himself to be a good leader in the way that like he thinks really fast on his feet and like he knows how to like handle these teenagers and like a couple of adults. But yeah. What was like your favorite training? Not training, I keep calling it that. Like your favorite audition moment.
I mean, I feel like the Monster Girl versus Rex fight is like kind of the big one from that whole section, but I don't know. I like when Adam Eve beats that like big buff dude.
Yeah.
Who like I'm curious what the people who didn't get selected for the team, like I just want to know what we were looking at. Like I like Duplicate got selected over quite a few of
Yeah.
them. And she's just like, just 10 normal girls that fight at once.
I
That
think,
shirtless buff guy is pretty big.
yeah, he just, he wasn't, he didn't think, he wasn't a thinker. I think
Yeah.
he's a thinker.
He didn't demonstrate the
We're gonna be
qualities.
branded as like a woman of invincible hater podcast.
Yeah, I only like Adam Eve, I suppose.
Hey, Debbie's cool.
Yeah, no, yeah, Debbie's awesome. Debbie and Eve.
Yeah.
But Duplicate, she's all right.
Do you have any like big takeaways from this episode?
Big takeaways from this episode?
I know, I feel like we just have so many specifics to talk
I
about.
know. I think like Robot is just so much like he used to be so enigmatic and weird and kind of off-putting. And
Yeah,
then obviously,
I liked him that
like,
way.
yeah, I know. And I know he's a pretty big player in the comics, so I'm sure like season two, like he's sidelined a little bit, but I'm sure like we'll see a lot more of him. But yeah, he's very intriguing in these early episodes of season one. Kind of like you just really don't know what his motives are.
Yes, especially when we get into the next episode, but that's for another conversation.
Yeah. But yeah, so my one of my big takeaways is that Robot is just very, very interested in these this early kind of part of Invincible. What about you?
I think we really start to see Eve not go downhill in this episode, just like kind of realize that the superhero life might not be for her. And just like all the complications that come with that. I think that's a really big part of this episode that we could talk more about later,
Yeah.
but I love seeing more of her and like dealing with those emotions is really nice. Again, like we say it every time, but I love like how this show does a really great job of like showing us like the repercussions of living in a world with superheroes and being a
Yeah.
superhero. So.
Yeah. Big focus on like mental health for superheroes. Which is good, which is, although I suppose in past episodes we've really said like no to emotion. So I don't know if we should stick with that. We should stick
Yeah.
with that brand for us, but yes. Adam Eve is often going through it and like Mark is just kind of differently, but
Yeah. Well, and also like in this episode, Rex is just such a dickhead. He's like
yeah.
redeemable in this episode. So I'm glad to know what the future looks like.
I know, yeah, it is kind of interesting watching back and seeing, even though we're only two seasons in, like some of these characters have already had a lot of development.
Yeah.
Rex being probably one of the more prominent ones, so he is very douchebaggy in this episode.
Yeah. Well, should we start talking about the specifics of what we like about this episode? After I. Are we
Yes.
ready to move on?
I think so. Should we take a break?
Well, yeah, because when we come back, we'll be talking even more about some of our favorite moments and elements from this episode. We'll be right back.
Hey, Aspect listener, my name is Alex.
And I'm Kate, enjoying this show on the Aspect Network.
Then check out Bending the Narrative.
We are your one-stop shop for everything in the world of Avatar, The Last Airbender.
Each week, we go back and discuss your favorite episodes of the series with a particular focus on the characters and narrative threads that tie the series together.
In addition to discussing the original series, we also dive into other stories in the world of Avatar, like Legend of Korra, the live-action Netflix series, the books, the comics, and more.
Join us as we travel the globe with Team Avatar and discuss one of the greatest animated series of all time on Bending the Narrative here on the Aspect Network.
Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Viltrumikes. Before the break, we discussed some of our overall thoughts on season one, episode three, but now we want to dive into specific parts of the rewatch that we really enjoyed. Negan, let's start with you this time. What were some of your favorite moments from Who You Callin' Ugly?
I think there's just a ton of gold going on in the Mark Amber Eve love triangle plot line. So we could just jump into that. I do really like the little scene with the Mahler twins in this one.
Me too.
Who I forgot, like, it kind of in the for a lot of season one, they're pretty regular characters. I feel like in season two, maybe they don't see him as often. But I hope they last the whole show.
Me too. I like them. They have such a fun personality.
Yeah.
They're just like cheeky.
It's just like a great, just a bit. Their whole thing
Yeah.
is just this bit. And like, I feel like that's the whole like foundation of their characters.
I love that we never know. I feel like they never know and we never know who the original is. I guess
Yeah.
it's just so fun.
I feel like the original is probably sorry. I feel like the
All
original.
right, I'll head out.
I feel like the original Mahler is long gone.
Oh yeah, for sure. They've just been like cloning each other
I
back
think
and
they're just, yeah, all clones
but they
now.
have it down. They have it down to a T. Good, good,
Yeah.
good them.
But in this episode, we see, I think, Mahler number one use Mahler number two as a human shield. And it's almost comical, just like how he just kind of is shot apart as he's defending or as he's blocking the bullets.
Yeah, I think like they are pretty strong individually, but I think what makes them stronger is that there's two of them and that they can like always clone the other one.
Yeah.
Because one of them can't die. It's like duplicate.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder why they've never made more than two of them. Or so far they haven't.
Well, I think that in season two, doesn't the Mahler guy, he's like, because he's like injured or whatever, he like declares himself the original, and then his plan is to just make a bunch of clones,
Oh,
I think.
there's so many episodes, I forget everything.
I'm pretty sure what happens is that he gets injured in the Angstrom fight, and then he's like, well, I'm the one left standing, like I'm the original. And so he makes the clone who has the same like memories, and then the clone realizes, oh, this guy was actually in the Angstrom explosion thing, and I was just born. And so I think his plan, once he established that he was the original, is was to just keep making clones, because just a kind of a silly system, but it doesn't seem to work. But then the other Mahler, he like poisons him. He's like, he basically he said something along the lines of like, we should like stick to the just the same formula. Like that's it's just best.
Yeah, that's so funny. I so much happens in season two. I do not remember that little bit, but we also don't see a lot of the Mahler twins
No,
in
we don't.
so.
There's way more Maulers in the first season.
I hope to see more of them in season three.
I bet we will, honestly. But Robot, I think Robot's like watching them, right, on the monitors or something.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Because he's like a just a creep.
He's just keeping tabs on everyone. He's just being
Keeping
productive.
tabs.
Nothing sus going on.
Yeah, I feel like Robot, I don't know, like why is he not investigating all the Guardians and the Omni-Man stuff? Like, I know he has his own agenda, but he feels so like smart.
What? He is? I think he is.
I don't know, I feel like he should be on like the science team. It's like the
Oh,
science department or something, like the
like he
forensics
shouldn't be a
department.
superhero.
Yeah, like CISO could really use him for just like research or like
He could be
investigative
Donald.
work. Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of robots in this
Yeah,
show.
because then, like, in spoiler alert, but like in scenarios where Donald is put in harm's way. If it was robot, then like maybe the chances of him dying would be less. I don't know. That's a whole thing. But
Well, it's not, now that we're talking about it, like it is kind of interesting how Donald is like basically just he keeps getting brought back as like cyborg versions that think it's they're the like Black Mirror, like they kind of they think they're like the real Donald. Whereas Robot is this robot who he's really in like this like spoilers for the I guess doesn't come to the episode after this, but he's like this kind of decrepit like baby thing who ends up cloning like making a clone of Rex as the transfer like to make a new actual like human version. But like I suppose like with Cecil's help, I don't
He's
know.
just
I feel
smart.
he could have gone the Donald route, I guess, and just been like a robot human.
Yeah, but then it would have been less interesting and we wouldn't get the whole monster
Yeah.
plot
Well, I
line.
think he really wants to like be a human. But I guess we'll
Yeah.
talk about that in future episodes. What was your favorite stuff?
Well, really quickly, just to bring it back to Robot.
Yes. Yes.
At one point in this episode, he like talks to Rex about what happened between him and Eve. And I don't remember exactly what he says, but he has like this conversation with Rex where he's like, well, you could have like handled it differently. Like you didn't have to do all that. So like you can see
Right.
there's like he knows like how humans work because he's worked with them his whole life.
Yeah.
So I could see why he's like, I want to be a human,
Yeah.
especially when Monster Girl comes in.
Yeah. What
So,
a weird relationship.
yeah, very, very interesting. He tries to make it less weird though, and we'll talk about that in another episode.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, you had pizza for lunch today, right?
I did.
Are
Yeah.
you sure like you're not Omni Man? Because after the funeral, he goes, I'm feeling pizza. And I was like,
That line is why what planted the pizza idea in my
really?
I started watching the episode
Oh my
today.
gosh.
I was like before I got lunch, and he was like, "I'm feeling pizza," and I was like, "Man, me too." And so then I got pizza. He probably got way better,
I was gonna say, are you
like
upset that
upscale
you couldn't
pizza.
like fly to the land of pizza?
Yeah, Pizza Planet.
I guess you kind of are in like the land of pizza in a way. Like New York, like they know their
Yeah,
pizza.
I mean, you can get it anywhere. I haven't really like branched out yet. I like there's this place like a 5 minute walk, and that's the place I'll it's good, but like I need to like really explore and just find like just the really like greasy, like you know.
Yeah. Well, it's nice that you have like a conveniently good place next to you.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap, like so. I mean, not that I should just be eating pizza every day, even if it's cheap, but it's damn good. I kind of want to go back, but I don't think I can go back and like twice in one day see the same dudes.
I'm sure they, maybe they'll remember you.
I'll think
Would
about it.
respect it.
I maybe I'll drag one of my roommates with me and make them buy a slice, and then I'll be like, oh, like we just both want to get pizza.
But yeah, I don't know. That line really gets me.
I'm feeling pizza.
Yeah, because it's just so like happy about it, and you literally just come from the Guardian's funeral, and you're like, are you serious?
Yeah, I got a question. What foods do you think the Viltrumites eat? Because I feel like they don't have pizza and good stuff like that.
That's a good question. Well, I don't know. I feel like maybe they do have, well, okay, maybe they don't have the food that we have here on Earth, but because they've conquered other planets, they have other planet food. What is other
Oh.
planet food? I don't know, but I'm sure they pick the best of the best and they're like, we're taking this
Yeah.
back.
See, that's why Omni Man's so happy on Earth, because he just gets to
Yes,
go eat pizza.
and that's why he's so determined to carry out his mission so he can bring back yummy recipes to his family. He's like, you guys ever heard of a burger?
He's like, guys. Wait till you get here. Wait till you guys move here. Yeah. I think wait till General Krieg gets down to Earth and tries pizza. Like, he might have a
Pizza and
change of
milk.
heart. You know they don't have like ice cream or like tater tots or another like good food.
Well, and like they have the Omni Man has been to multiple countries, so he could be like, look at this sushi roll I found.
You're like from a different country or planet?
Yeah, no, like a different country, because he is in charge of all of Earth.
Right.
So he'll
Yeah.
bring all the cuisines back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what people on other planets eat.
Yeah. Like in the world of Invincible or like our universe?
Both.
Yeah, me too. But I don't
Like,
know.
what are the aliens me snacking on?
Feel like in like cartoons and media, it's always like some like slop or some like sludge kind of like very
Yes.
like oatmeal-y grits kind of meals. But I bet like I don't know. The Viltrumites seem pretty like they probably eat really healthy because
Yeah.
they're,
They get
you
their
know,
protein somehow.
Nolan probably softened up on Earth because he's just eating like Earth junk food all the time.
Yeah, so maybe when the Viltrumites. Yeah. Maybe when they conquer Earth, that'll never happen. But if they did.
No, because Invincible is going to stop them.
But if hypothetically, if they did, they would just get really fat.
Yeah. They would like it. They would like it on. They would like it here, honestly.
Yeah, maybe they'll be like, damn, maybe these humans are do know what they're talking about.
Yeah. We do. We were put on Earth with nothing but rocks and grass, and we got, I don't, well, I guess pizza's not like a crazy evolutionary like achievement from what we started with. Like, this is more crazy what we're just talking on this virtual thing,
Oh, true, true.
but I mean, as far as just like impact on the world, pizza's pretty big.
Yeah, for sure.
Who dislikes it? No one.
No.
No one
I
dislikes
just
it. You can
I
taste
feel like I
it.
know people who like don't go out of their way to have it. I don't know anyone that's like, oh, I'm not touching a piece of pizza. Because, like, you can make it
Poses.
gluten free, you can make it dairy free. It's very
Yeah.
friendly.
It's very much like because humans are omnivores, right? We're true omnivores. We'll just eat everything, and pizza's like the true embodiment of a human like diet.
If an alien came down, I would just be like, look at this piece of pizza. That's all you need to know.
Yeah. We
That
can
little
throw any, we make dessert pizzas.
true. All
That's
right,
crazy.
moving on from pizza. Let's talk about. Oh, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So, like I said earlier, Omni-Man is just so truly evil in this episode, and he acts so suspicious in this episode. At like one point, like I said earlier, he corrects Debbie from calling the Guardians of the Globe his friends to calling them co-workers, which was crazy. Like it's just like there's again, like there's so many red flags being waved in so many people's faces that they're just not putting them all together to be like Omni-Man is the killer. So my question to you is, if we didn't see Omni-Man commit the crimes and they dialed back his like suspicious actions just a little bit, do you think you would be able to guess that it was him who murdered the Guardians of the Globe? This is super hypothetical, but like if you were watching this and they didn't show that scene, do you think you'd be able to be like, I think it's Omni-Man?
You're saying like if we only ever saw like the aftermath of it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I think just because he's the last one standing, like you would have some, maybe somewhat of a suspicion that he instigated it. But it would be like a very interesting way to watch the show. I theoretically, I guess if you skipped that scene, up until we're on episode three, right? Like, I don't think anything so far is confirmed that, like, we only know because we saw it, right? No one's like confirmed it. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
I mean, I think he does so many suspicious things and he says so many suspicious things that I feel like we'd be able to figure it out. But if they like dialed back that suspiciousness, then I think like it'd be fun to see like who would guess if he was the killer or not.
I think with just how like like how hard Damien Darkblood is scrutinizing Nolan. Like I feel like the audience would just become more suspicious because got like this demon detective that's really on to him.
And
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good
they don't get
question.
along for a reason. Like Omni-Man doesn't like him for a reason, and that reason is that like he knows that Omni-Man did it. So very telling. And then it's interesting because you during this episode we find out that Cecil kind of has an inkling that it what of what's going on because we see the house set up across the street spying on the Grayson household. So you're like, oh, I kind of think Cecil knows what's going on. He just doesn't have solid proof.
Oh yeah. What you're saying when Cecil is spying on the Graysons?
Yeah, so like that kind of hints towards like Cecil knows something is up.
Yeah.
As if he didn't think it was that, like if he thought Omni-Man had nothing to do with it, then like he wouldn't be spying on them.
Right, that's true. Do we know how long Cecil's had like cameras in there?
No idea.
Because Cecil does seem like the type of guy that would like figure that out like early, like just to keep tabs on everyone. And it is definitely like a breach of trust and maybe a little immoral or not that ethical, but because don't like. I guess that's in the next episode. Okay, we'll talk about it in the next episode. But like, just who knows what he could be seeing and like, not supposed to see. Just more of like a, just someone's house. But, yeah. Cecil also, he interrupts Mark and Amber. Just to show us more of how Cecil's kind of always snooping, right? But he's snooping and then he teleports into their house and in the middle of a study date, which I guess is context we need to go over real quick. He's just wasting all of the audience's time. He calls Amber and basically suggests they do a study date. Amber. Oh, I put Amber leaves Rex in my notes, not Eve leaves Rex.
Don't tell the audience that.
But so the two of them go on a study date, and then Cecil comes in, and he's basically like, "You, like, if you want to be a superhero, like, you need to decide, like, you need to commit to that, and I need to be able to like rely on you." And so Mark's like, "Okay, yeah, let's do it." And my favorite part of this little interaction is he's basically saying there's a rogue supervillain, and Eve's gonna be teaming up or whatever, and Mark's like, "Eve's gonna be there," and Cecil says, "Oh, didn't that just sweeten the deal?" And Mark's like, "Oh, what? Like, no." That's another like small moment I just forgot about, like
Yeah, there's
them.
another moment that comes later on that we can talk about, but like we know Invincible, we know you're sweet on Eve, so why are you calling up Amber?
I know. It's just.
Which is a genuine
Well,
question.
I guess
Like, why
Eve
does
was with Rex, but then they break
Yeah.
up in this episode, and then they
Oh,
were
okay. I see. Yeah. I mean, he was trying to be respectful. Because I was like, why is Mark calling Amber and not Eve? But you're right. He was just trying to be respectful of the relationship because he's a stand-up.
Right. He's a nice dude. I think it's funny that like the show plays with its high school characters a lot, especially in this season. And like it's not, you know, it's not like a party or some like after school thing that Eve's gonna be at. It's like the two of them gotta stop this supervillain from like destroying Mount Rushmore. But like, you know, so it's just fun, very playful. I think the show is very good at that. Especially in, I think season one, it has a lot of more time to devote to just kind of that fun stuff. But
That's something that I was thinking about is I feel like season one is just a lot funnier and a lot like in a way like kind of laid back. In like that we're getting to know the characters a lot more. So there's some like really funny lines of dialogue in season one. And like there's still some funny bits in season two.
So sorry. My time, my I set a timer for my laundry and it just went off and I forgot how to
It's
do
okay,
that.
I didn't hear it.
I'll flip it on the break. Or I'll flip it during the break. Continue.
Laundry in New York. But as I was saying, I just feel like the dialogue in season one is really, really funny. And like they and I was gonna bring this up in the next episode, but Mark, just watching Mark like figure out how to be a superhero and like have those funny moments of failure is just really entertaining to watch versus like in season two, it's just so much heavier. And like he is understanding like all the basics of being a superhero. So we don't see him like make those silly little mistakes anymore. But all of this to say is just like season one is really funny, versus like
Is
season two, like like when Rope or when Monster Girl, because Rex is like it Re Rex during the superhero auditions is like, isn't there an age requirement? And Monster Girl goes, isn't there a dick requirement? That was good. Like, there's just some really smart, witty lines in this season.
Yeah, it has a lot of fun with its youth, its young characters. So I agree. I think season one probably is a little more playful overall, just because season two, there's a little bit more going on. But
Back to Amber and Mark. Do you have anything else to say about that?
Not much. I mean, even Mark defeat Doc Seismic and save Mount Rushmore, and then Mark goes back home and finds that Amber has been waiting on him for a whole hour.
She's loyal.
I know she really likes him. It's kind of sad because we know from the get-go that kind of what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, I don't, we're really tough on Amber, but she has like some funny moments of humor. Like she's got some personality. I can see why Mark likes her a little bit.
Yeah, she's cool.
Amber Eve, I mean.
Yeah.
But
It's not a
we've said it before, but it's nice to see like these superheroes try to have like a normal life in a way.
Yeah, no, I agree. Very
Versus,
cute.
oh, you go.
Oh, no, I was just saying, it's very cute. Like, I feel like season one is very much structured like a coming of age story, and more than season two is for sure. And just a big part of that is a lot of it's just his love life and kind of getting started with Amber, but obviously Adam Eve. Yeah, so
Versus,
it's very fun.
yeah, and it's so sad to see like Mark having issues with like this normal like human girl, like she's just upset at him for like peacing out on him. Versus Eve has to find Rex cheating on her with
Yeah.
duplicate, like with a superhero, like that just elevates it so much more.
Yeah. And I remember that they were in like the shower, but I guess it is just like when Rex finds Kate with Immortal, season two, maybe. Yeah. That's just also a fun like thing that they play with, like with her superpowers and like that the context of getting like cheated on and all that. Like it's just fun. But
It's a bad move by Rex, though. He's an idiot.
yeah.
Fumbled the bag.
Yeah, I know. How did you like how could you do that to Adam Eve, you know?
Well, and it makes me wonder. We see Eve and Rex interact more in season two, and like Rex like gets really badly injured in season two. And we see them like have this moment together of just like, you know, like talking about what happened, and like she's like bringing him flowers or like soup or whatever. So it makes me wonder like if Rex in the future is gonna develop feelings for Eve again, or if I think he knows that like that's Invincible's girl.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see like if Rex kind of realizes the bag he fumbled.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he kind of does in season two, or he kind of like has this sort of maybe remorse for just how he behaved in the past after he almost dies. But I think even Rex kind of is shipping Mark and Eve now.
Yeah, I think so too.
But this is still the very early stages. It's a lot more of Mark and Amber. We still gotta get through.
Yeah,
Oh
it's
yeah.
also funny bringing it back to how Mark reacted when Cecil brought Eve up being there. When Eve was talking about why Rex cheated on her, she was like, yeah, like he thought we were dating. And he goes, what? That's crazy. He's
Yeah.
like, well, people think that.
Well,
Yeah,
that's
it's
so
crazy.
funny. I
But he's
gonna
already
say
got something with
something.
Amber, so.
Yeah, just timing, just kind of, the enemy of all. I feel like I was gonna make a comment on how I didn't think that like, or like I think Mark and Amber could be slash could I guess now like could have been a little more like interesting of like a I feel like their relationship could have been maybe more interesting or their chemistry, but then it's like I you gotta think about most of the time I know the actors are recording like these lines separate and because it's animation like you don't really get to see two real people bounce off of each other, and so I feel like in some ways I'm curious what you think, but I feel like in some ways it almost maybe affects like how like genuine or like natural some of like specifically like the romantic relationships are or can be because of like just the medium, because it's not like Mark and Eve are like I feel it's not like we've seen a ton of like straight out of La La Land scenes of them, just because it what the show is and like it's an animated show. I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that kind of side of animation?
It's so interesting to me, and we've kind of talked about this before, but I the obviously we know like the voice acting in this show is incredible. And like there's certain scenes like between Invincible and Omni-Man where there's just like so much emotion. There's scenes where Debbie gets really emotional, and there's so much emotion in her delivery. that like it re that like the just like the recording process really does pique my curiosity, because I wonder like how they do it, like how do they get that emotion from one another if they're not reading with each other. So yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. I see where you're coming from though,
Yeah.
with the relationships dynamic of it. Yeah, it's I want to know how they do it. I want to ask Steven Yeun how he be recording his lines so well.
Yeah. I don't know, I was just thinking about it because I don't think Mark and Amber are like fireworks or anything. But then I'm like, well, really neither is Mark and Eve from
Yeah.
like a you just kind of root for them and expect them to get together. But again, it's not like we're watching like Jim and Pam, and getting to see like just the intricacies of like human interaction. But I just thought it was interesting. But I still ship Mark and Eve, of course.
Of course.
But
The day, if one of us were to ever stop shipping Meave, then it's the day this podcast.
did you ever read like growing up, like in middle school? You seem like you did, but maybe. Did you ever read like fan fiction?
Yes.
Okay. I definitely I dabbled. I
Specifically
read like
One Direction fan fiction. Like that's are you saying that you're gonna write Invincible fan fiction?
no, but
Are you sure? I'm gonna look it up. Meave fan fiction.
But I bet there's got to be like I haven't really read fan fiction in like I mean probably 10 years at least. Obviously I know it was pretty big, especially like our middle school like Tumblr era with like all those fandoms. Like it was like really a thing like to be a part of a fandom, and at least for the nerd side of middle school. I wonder like now if like people are just writing Invincible fan fiction,
I don't know,
like
but now
since the
I want to
show is
know.
kind of taking off, like where Meave is already a big thing, and like I don't know, just kind of spinning it in their own
I don't know. Maybe we'll do our research
direction.
and we'll read a passage from one of them and
That would actually be funny. Let's consider that for the next episode that we record.
okay, cool.
In a whole week, a
Yeah.
whole week from now, we'll have to wait, but it's gonna be so fun to we can really that can be a whole episode actually just
Just
us
reading
reading.
and
Yeah,
fiction. Yeah.
let's just cast like people we know. We'll just do like a reading.
Yeah. I don't know. I know you do a pretty good immortal voice, so maybe we just find an immortal fan fiction.
See, it probably exists. It probably exists. His time with the Guardians, like the original team. I don't
Oh.
know.
All
We'll
the
look. That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
He's lived a ton of lives. He has to have some stories to tell.
His time as Abraham Lincoln and dealing with the slavery and Civil War. Yeah.
Ugh.
That's
Well, oh, one other thing I wanted to bring up is when Amber came over, Mark was showing her all of his comics. And she specifically borrows Seance Dog, who we know comes is an important part of
Oh,
the story. But it's funny
yeah,
because she was like, I'll borrow this to show you that I'm interested. So she has some
that's
redeemable
cute.
moments.
Yeah, no, she's all right, she's chill. Sure, I like her. But yeah. Let's see what else is in this episode. Well, honestly, I think we could probably break and then play that little game, maybe? Or are we doing that next episode?
We're doing that next episode.
Okay. Hold on.
Ask me if there's anything else I want to talk about.
Well, is there anything else that you want to go over before we break for a second?
I think just the last thing was that we during the Guardians of the Globe auditions, we learn about Monster Girl and how she can't de-age or she can't transform as often as Robot would like her to, or else she'll de-age. And again, like bringing it back to Robot, we can kind of see him become concerned about that. And that kind of, I think that starts like a snowball effect into who Robot eventually becomes. But that's it.
Yeah, he's kind of this overanalyzer, overthinker for sure. Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're going to revisit that chilling mid-credit scene. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Alex. Enjoying the show on the Aspect Network? Then you should check out my show, Philosophy of X. Each week, I pair an X-Men character, story, or concept with a relevant philosophical topic and explore how the two relate to one another. Join me on my journey to examine the world of X-Men through philosophy. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Viltrumites. To wrap up this episode, we wanted to discuss in more detail about the mid-credits scene in Damian Darkblood's investigation into the murder of the Guardians. Bree, what's it like for you re-watching this mystery unfold when you kind of already know what's going to happen?
Like I said earlier, it's just so obvious that Omni-Man did it. I know obviously we know that he's the killer, but like there's just so many red flags that everyone is choosing to turn a blind eye to, except Damian Darkblood. So I'm like, what? Why won't they just believe the guy?
Because he always talks like he always sounds like he's speaking in riddles, you know?
That's true. He talks really funny. He like doesn't complete his sentences.
Yeah, it's like Cookie Monster, kind of like this chopped up, sort of very like minimal language.
Yeah, like Yoda, but forwards.
Yeah, but normal. Yeah, he talks pretty, he just talks funny. And so it makes it hard to like read him, I think, and to gauge his intentions, you know, by his language, his words. So, but he's definitely on to something.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting that he approaches Debbie and like tells her what he's thinking and kind of plots all of it in front of her to be like, it's your husband.
Do you think that the character, because this is we don't see him for like he's in the next episode, but then we don't see him for a while. Well, we haven't seen him since, actually. Like, how do you feel about kind of rewatching his scenes? Because he really is such a brief inclusion. And I don't know what if he comes, I assume he'll come back, but I don't know. And like he almost seems a little bit like I know there's probably a like a writing or like a literary term for his character, but he almost like seems to exist to like kind of like you know feed Debbie some like suspicions or like kind of make Cecil more suspicious of Nolan. But then he, you know, we'll talk about him more next episode, but it's
Yeah.
almost like he's a character serving kind of these other characters in terms of just giving them that knowledge or that like that itch in their brain. What do
Yeah,
you
no,
think?
I totally agree that he is that kind of character. And I think he works really well as that kind of character. I'm a big fan of him, so I would love to see more of him. But who he is for these episodes, it works out really well. I don't, who knows when they would have found out without him. I'm sure eventually, but it would have been a while.
Yeah.
All of season one would have been them trying to figure it out.
Yeah. Even smart Cecil.
But I think he could be really helpful in certain situations. I think I said the same thing last time, but I don't know. We'll talk about it more next episode, but I think some different things could have been done with him.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm curious to hear more of your thoughts on that. But he's a cool guy, I guess. He's just casually from hell.
Well, and it's so interesting because Debbie asks him why he cares so much, and he says he escaped hell and now he just seeks justice for others so he can save his soul.
Yeah.
So I wonder who he is once his soul is saved.
That's true.
He transforms into like a human or like someone that looks like a human. Maybe.
I suppose. I mean, I guess like maybe he finally gets released from hell or something. And goes to wherever they go. Heaven, maybe.
Lives his life on Earth.
I don't know. It's very, I love it when like a property like Invincible, where characters die all the time. Like, it's a show that also like explores, like, you know, the afterlife through a character like Damien Darkblood, and is acknowledging like, hey, and at least in this universe, like, hell is indeed a real place, and this guy is from there. So think about that every time you see all these characters get brutally murdered. Like, they're going somewhere. Except for Immortal. But I guess, we won't chat about him for a while because he doesn't come back for a while. But when we do chat about him, we can discuss maybe if he has any existential crisis about what happens next, if anything happens next for him.
Yeah. Damien Darkblood. What a guy.
What a guy.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning into this episode of Viltrumikes, an Invincible podcast here on the Aspect Network. Next week, we are heading to Mars with our review of season one, episode 4, titled Neil Armstrong, Eat Your Heart Out. But first, Negan, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Instagram and TikTok at NeganTheStallion_. And you can find me on Letterboxd at Negan2000. This isn't important, Bree, but my TikTok account was like, last week it got banned for like a total of like 2 hours, and I was able to fix it. But I'll tell you more about it. I can't say after this.
I can't
wait. But it stressed me out. But where can people locate you online?
They can find me on Instagram at Brianna_Romero, on TikTok at a big head Brie with 3 E's, on Letterboxd at Brianna Romero, and that's it. That's the only places I exist.
No Facebook, MySpace.
They don't need to know my Facebook. That's for family.
Yeah, family and high school teachers.
Exactly. Who always wish me a happy birthday.
Yes. I might invite them all to my wedding.
They'd come. They'd show up. Please be sure to subscribe here on The Aspect on YouTube and any platform where podcasts are found. Follow us on Twitter/X, Instagram, and TikTok at The Aspect Co. And thanks so much for listening. And
think, Mark, think!